What's being called a loophole in federal immigration law has allowed thousands of people in the United States to apply for visas to bring children and adolescents into the country as child or teen spouses. In an 11-year period starting in 2007, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services approved nearly 8,700 petitions for spousal entry that were for minors. From that pool, some 5,600 were approved by the State Department.
Now a Wisconsin lawmaker wants to close that loophole and prevent the potential exploitation of children in the U.S.
Senator Ron Johnson is the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and represents Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Central Time.
Hello, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. Well, how did this issue of these kind of loopholes letting underaged brides into the country first come to your attention?
Again, we do all kinds of oversight. And Ian Hersey Alley, a former legislator in the Netherlands under a fatwa, a real champion of women's rights within the Arab world, we've had her testify before our committee, and among a host of issues, this is one of the issues we raised. And so, working with my former ranking member Claire McCaskill, we sent an oversight letter to USCIS, which is the first government agency that approves a visa for either a fiance or a spouse. It took them over a year to respond to our oversight because they just didn't have the records. And what we found is that they had granted approval for underage, under 18, fiancés and spouses to more than 8,000 of those individuals. I think one or two were 13 years old. Now, those visas weren't granted by the State Department, but other visas probably were. We really don't have any information on that, but only 2.6% of the visas are actually that have been approved by USCIS are actually declined by the State Department. So our assumption is most of those over 8,000 visas were probably granted to spouses or fiancés that were underage. You know, really completely contrary to U.S. Stated policy.
What did you learn about the process here? First of all, it sounds like it's a little opaque. We don't know exactly what goes on or have these detailed records. What do we know about the process for these fiancé and spouse applications?
Well, one of the complicating factors is underage marriage is not illegal in like 48 states. Mm-hmm. So that is an issue. But from my standpoint, the solution is pretty straightforward, and that is we just stop issuing visas to anybody under 18. And, you know, again, young love is fine, I suppose, and different cultures are different. But if you immigrate to this country and you've left a spouse behind or you have a fiance, I think if we want to really uphold what our stated policy is to try and prevent child marriages and the exploitation that is part of that, is we just simply say you're going to have to wait till you're 18. I think that's a pretty simple solution. And that's what I'm working on legislatively to accomplish.
Yeah, talk about legislation that you're working on. What kind of specific changes are you hoping to make in addition to what you just mentioned?
Yeah, again, we do want to, again, it is complex because, again, underage marriages are lawful in many states. And so we're trying to work our way through that legal morass and just come up with a pretty simple solution that just did what I said it does. Is, you know, if the U.S. government policy, and it is, that we want to prevent through our immigration system exploitation in underage marriages, we simply don't allow a visa to be granted to a spouse or a fiance under the age of 18. It's a pretty simple solution, but we just need to run all the legal traps to see if that would actually work.
But as you mentioned, all of these cases, especially maybe with the 17-year-old, where you could see a marriage like this, and as you say, most American states, we don't know that inherently every one of these 8,700 cases would be a case of exploitation.
Yeah, and the vast majority of those were 16 to 17-year-olds. And, you know, maybe it was an exploitation, but within those 8,600 visas, you can pretty well be assured that there was some real exploitation, particularly when you understand as well that the age differences of these were, in some of these cases, was vast, you know, 30, 40 years difference. I mean, that would certainly probably be exploitation.
Now, legislation can move slowly, especially in the midst of a shutdown. Have you seen anything from immigration or the State Department that says, okay, in the meantime, we're going to look a little more closely at these cases?
Oh, I think that for sure is happening right now. Again, I actually did appreciate this. Oftentimes, you get pretty frustrated with these agencies and the lack of response, and I wasn't happy that it took a year, but I was actually pretty pleased with how thorough the investigation was and how complete the information we got from USCIS. So they took it very seriously, and I think both USCIS and the State Department are going to be taking a look at this. And again, hopefully we can pass a piece of legislation that will take care of this.
You mentioned you had worked on this with your then-colleague, Claire McCaskill, now no longer in the Senate. That said, do you see bipartisan support even absent her?
Yeah, I would almost expect unanimous support. So it really is making sure that we get the law right on this and craft a piece of legislation that's pretty bulletproof. And I would hope, as a lot of things that I do pass, I would hope that this would be done by unanimous consent and just kind of fly through Congress.
Talking to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, we've been talking about legislation he's working on aimed at preventing people being brought into the country as spouses or fiancés who are underage. Want to turn now, though, to the government shutdown. We're about a month into this thing now. What are you currently working on, looking at, hearing about on the Senate floor?
Well, first of all, I share the president's frustration. I'm chairman of Homeland Security. We've held 30 hearings on border security. Better barriers work. In the four sectors where we have them, illegal immigration has dropped by 90 to 95%. So that is part of what we need to do, and it's one of the first steps we have to take. Democrats have supported in the past. They've supported $8 billion of better barrier funding in the 2013 immigration bill, $40 billion plus in terms of border security. So they're being disingenuous when they won't provide funding just because it's President Trump. That being said, I hate shutdown politics. When we shut the government down, it costs the government more. It hurts our economy. And so what I'm trying to do is change the dynamic. I introduced the Shutdown Fairness Act, which would just pay people that are actually being forced to work. Perfect fairness. Trying to get all my Republican senators to co-sponsor that, show the president that this is where the Republican Senate wants to be. I already have 20 co-sponsors on that. I don't know where this effort's going to go. I think it's a good faith effort on the part of the president, laying it out to the Democrats, but it seems like Democrats believe they have a popular opinion here on their side, and they're just completely dug in. I hope they don't remain dug in. I hope we can end this shutdown as quickly as possible.
With your position on the Homeland Security Committee, we hear about among the government employees going unpaid, TSA agents, a Coast Guard, other key Homeland Security personnel. Does this worry you in particular that, hey, maybe you're going to start losing people? They're going to go find other jobs.
It concerns me a great deal. We're having a hard time filling the positions that are funded for CBP officers and ICE officers as well. So, no, this is not good. And, certainly, I thank TSA agents for their service every time I go through the airport, particularly now for kind of hanging in there. But, listen, I certainly understand that they would start getting pretty upset, and, we're seeing people calling in sick and maybe some work slowdowns. That's something we need to be concerned about.
Looking at what border security funding goes to, is the word wall part of the stumbling block here? If it was some barriers, some electronic surveillance, better screening of cars as they come in at point of entry to try to find heroin and other drugs, more staffing to expedite asylum procedures. I mean, if you called it a more comprehensive package and looked at those things, do you think that you could find something both sides could agree on?
Well, we need all of those things. We really do. Most of the drugs come in through the ports of entry. We need more agents. We need better inspection devices to try and detect drugs. But again, better barriers work, particularly in high traffic areas. So that frees up personnel to concentrate on the other areas, the ports of entry, the open areas. But the problem with technology, it will detect it. We can track. We can apprehend. Because of our broken immigration system, then all we can do is process and disperse. And a high percentage of people coming to this country claiming asylum, they don't meet the bar. And so what ends up happening there is that once we have an order to remove them, if they're not detained, we can't remove them. Only 7% are actually removed. So it's not a solution that actually works. It's part of it. We need it in some areas, but we can't rely on that totally.
Now, the shutdown and border security getting all the attention. As we wrap up, though, is there something else you'd like to see Congress working on, another priority that's maybe getting set aside for all this?
Well, you know, I ran because we're mortgaging our kids' future. We have to take our debt and deficit seriously. You know, I've always said economic growth is the number one component of that solution, which is why I supported, you know, the tax plan. That is a flawed plan. I mean, that's not as good as it should have been. So we need to fix our tax reform. But we need to keep American businesses competitive so our economy keeps growing. But we really do need to seriously take a look at the fact that we're mortgaging our kids' future and address that sooner rather than later. But unfortunately, on a bipartisan basis, people are just whistling past the graveyard on that.
Senator Johnson, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Have a great day.
Senator Ron Johnson is a Republican representing Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate. He joins us today to talk about a loophole in U.S. immigration laws that allowed thousands of child or teen spouses to come into the country. He also talked about the ongoing government shutdown, reached out to Wisconsin Democrats in Congress as well to get their take on the shutdown and the fight over border security.
And coming up, we're taking your calls about the government shutdown, how you think it should end, and how it's impacting you and your family. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Give us a call now. We'll start taking your calls coming up on Central Time.